Okay, we're going to start here on the Mishnah on the top of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, "Ashuchetet habechor v'noda shelo heraru." So we find out afterwards that he never showed it to a chacham. Shechted the bechor based on a mum. The kohen, once it has a mum in it, can do whatever he wants with it. It's chulin. So he went ahead and he sold it to other people. But after he sold it to them, we find out that he never showed it to a chacham. Mashe achlu achlu, whatever the buyers ate already, obviously is gone. V'yachzir lehem adamim. And then he has to compensate them for that. U'mashe b'lo achlu, basay yikaver, v'yachzir et adamim. The remainder of the bechor has to be buried, and he has to return the money. So in the end, he refunds them the entire amount. Portion of it, can I get what they ate? The other portion, can I get what they have to bury? But he refunds them the entire amount. Question is why? Rashi notes it already, which is Mishum Knas, the Isur Safilu. He gave them Isur to eat, and because he gave them Isur to eat, there's a Knas that he's going to have to pay back all the money. Even though technically they ate a portion of it, they got Hanah from a portion of it, and maybe they should pay him for it, but the fact that he gave them Isur, we make him refund all the money.
How much do they have to give back? If they ate half?
They get all their money back. It's just the Mishnah divides it into two pieces, what they ate and what they have to bury. Whatever they've eaten. Whatever is left over, they bury, but they get the money back for both pieces. So they get the entire amount back. V'chein, ha-shochet et ha-parah u-mechara. Person shechs ha-parah, sells it. V'nodashi treifa. Then we find out that he sold the treifa. Here, ma-shachlu achlu, whatever they ate, they ate. V'yachzir lehem adamim. And then he has to compensate them for that. Mashlo achlu, hem yachziru lo. What they didn't eat, they return to him. Yachziru lo et basar. V'yachzir lehem et adamim. They'll give him back whatever remains of the animal, and he'll refund them for that part of it. Machru lo oved kochavim. If the buyers already sold it to an oved kochavim, otilu le klavim, or they fed it to the dogs, yishamu jmei treifa. Then they'll deduct from the amount of money that he gets back the amount that they would have purchased the treifa for. Had they purchased the treifa in order to sell it to an oved kochavim, had they purchased the treifa to feed it to the dogs, it's obviously a lot less than what they did pay for it, but that amount they will pay him for. The remainder, they'll get refunded for him. They bought kosher meat, instead they got non-kosher meat. How much would the non-kosher meat cost if they had bought it? So the non-kosher meat, that they do pay him for, because they used it like non-kosher meat. They either sold it or they used it to feed it to the dogs. The remainder, they'll get refunded from him. Tan Rabbanan, Hamulcher basar lechaviro, v'nimtzar basar bechor, peirot, v'nimtzar tefalim, yayin, v'nimtzar yayin nesech. Person sells these items to an individual, and then after the fact, they find out that they were asurim. They buy meat, and they find out it's a bechor. They buy peirot, they find out there was never trumot or masrot removed from it. They buy wine, and they find out that it's yayin nesech. Mashachlu achlu. What they ate, v'yachzir lehem et adamim. And then he has to return them or refund them the money. Yachzir lehem kol adamim, d'chol ma she'achlu eino nehene lehem, misha she'noda lehem. Whatever they ate, they no longer get hanoah out of it because they found out it was isur. And yes, they ate it and they got hanoah because they ate. But then when they find out that it was isur, it's something that's repulsive to them. Since it's repulsive to them, they didn't really get any hanoah. Therefore he has to refund the entire amount. If it's something that is repulsive, something that psychologically makes them ill, then you have to refund the entire amount. And then you exil them at the damim. Things that are not necessarily repulsive, you nach them at the damim. Mashachlu achlu, whatever they ate, they got enough from. And the remainder, they'll have to replace, they have to refund them the money for. What are those items that are repulsive or make you ill? Nevelot, trefot, shkatzim, v'ramasim. These are items that people have instinctive revulsion to. It says they have that instinctive revulsion to them. When they find out that they ate such a thing, it'll make them ill. So there he has to refund all the money. What are items that you do not have that feeling about? Bichorot, tevelim, v'yayin nesech. Therefore, bichorot, tevel, and yayin nesech, you only get a partial refund. You get a refund whatever is left over. So again, the difference being that the first list are things that are both inherently also disgusting. They're not just isur. They also have an aspect of mius outside of the isur. The other items like tevel, bechor, and yayin esech are items that have a spiritual isur. They have an isur associated with them, but they don't have something that's innate or inherently maus about them. Mar says, now he has this bechor, and he comes to get his money back, and he says to him, "V'leimalei maf sadetecha." He can say to the owner, the one who sold him the animal, Why don't you give me a full refund? Why are you only giving me a refund for the part that I'm returning to you? Why don't you give me a full refund? Because what loss did I cause you? When I ate a portion of it, what did you lose? Because what were you going to do with this bechor anyway? You couldn't have done anything with this bechor. The fact that I ate it should make no difference. I should get all my money back because you would have gotten zero. Instead, you got all this money from me. So I should really get a full refund. Lo tzricha, kedom dezavin le memakom muma. He sold them the place where the mum was. So now the Yisrael ate the mum, makes it into a huge problem. Demalei, ilav dachalt. Had you not eaten this, hava machzin alei, I could now have shown it to the chacham, visharini alei, and he would be matrim it like Rabbi Yehuda. Because we saw this machloket earlier in the Masechta and the Mishnah, machloket Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that we're not gozer mumim after death atu dokin shiba ayin, and therefore mumim that don't change after death, you're allowed to show the chacham after death. Rabbi Meir says we are gozer mumim shachamita because of dokin shiba ayin, and therefore if you don't show it to the chacham while it's alive, it's asur afterwards. So here, if we pass them like Rabbi Yehuda and say that you can show it to the chacham even after it's dead, then over here I have a way to make it valuable, make it edible by showing the chacham the mum. Instead, you ate the mum. So if you ate the mum, now I can't be matir the bechor. So you did cause me a loss. And that's why I'll only refund you for the amount that you didn't eat. I'm not going to refund you for the part that you did eat. Tvalim, he says, by tevel, you can say the same thing. What loss did I cause you? You couldn't have done anything with them. Have a metakinin aluhu, vachalna aluhu. I could have been metake them. Tevel is only tevel until you take off shumot masarot. I could have taken off shumot masarot of it and then given it to you to eat.
Whatever you ate, you ate.
The question is about why the part that he ate does he not get a refund for? Because he didn't cause him any loss. The answer is he did cause him a loss. Cause him a loss because he could have fixed this tevel up and then it would have been edible, it would have been usable. Yai nesech, this is a harder one. Ayidei tarovet. Yai nesech was, he didn't sell him pure yai nesech. He sold the payam nesach that was mixed with other wine that was mutar. Uka Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Titnan, we have a Mishnah and a Bodhizorua, yai nesach should not fall the boar. If you have yai nesach that falls into a boar where you don't have 60 to 1, kulo asur behana, the entire mixture is asur behana. Shimon Gamliel omer, yimacher kul o, lo uvde kochavim, puts me deme yai nesach shibo. So you'll sell the entire pool, but you just deduct the amount that is Yayin Nesech. You can sell it off. So according to Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel, there is value to this Yayin Nesech. And therefore, the fact that you drank it didn't cause me a loss. I could have sold it. Now that you drank it, I can't sell that piece. So because of that, we only refund you the amount that you returned to him. We do not refund you the entire amount. Because what you drank did cause a loss and was valuable to the Kohen or to the owner of this item. And therefore, he does not refund you for the piece that you ate.
Therefore, if you cause the owner a loss, then he will not compensate you for the part that you got hana from, because you got hana, and he incurred a loss for it. On the other hand, if you get the hana, and the owner incurs no loss because of that, then he will have to refund you the full animal, because your hana, your benefit, caused him no loss. He would have gotten nothing out of this animal. This animal was a zero for him, and the fact that you got hana from it, then enev is a lo chaser, so therefore he would have to compensate the whole animal. So B'Shimon Elazar says that you would compensate for the whole thing, except in the instances where your hana causes a loss for the original owner, and then you can deduct from the amount that you ate, the remainder you'll return to him, and then he will refund you for that part.
The way we have it laid out, we have our Mishnah. Mishnah by Bechor says there's a knas that you have to replace the whole amount. And if you use the entire amount, then you deduct what it would have cost you to buy it and return it to them. And then we have the Braita. In the time of the Braita, what you ate, and then you get a full refund for whatever it is. And then we have Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, divides it up into two worlds. Depends if it's Nefesh Katzabem or Ain Nefesh Katzabem. Nefesh Katzabem, you get a full refund. Ain Nefesh Katzabem, you only get the partial refund. Next Mishnah. Okay, this parak begins, the parak about mumim, harks back to Elo Trefot, a little bit more of anatomy of the animals. Halelu mumim shochatim et abachor. For which mumim are you allowed to shecht abachor? So here we go. Nifgima ozno, some sort of gam, some sort of cut, break in the ear. Minas chus. It has to be from the schus. Now, Rashi over here is, and Tosavot says schus is ha tnucha ozen. The tnucha ozen is not like what most people think, the ear lobe, but in the Torah, tnucha ozen is the middle bar in the ear, in the middle of your ear, There's a bar here, which is the cartilage. It's the hard cartilage of the ear. That's what skus is here. Avaloha or, but not the skin. Depending if you think that the word skus means tnuch, just the part of the ear, that middle part of the ear, or whether it means all the cartilage of the ear, that could, if it's nifgama, if the cartilage of the ear was damaged, then it is a mum. Whereas if it's the skin around the ear, that is not problematic. The difference being, there's basic difference being that skin regenerates, it rehabilitates, it'll grow back. Its cartilage that is damaged will not grow back. And therefore, that's the key difference between these two. Nistika, if it's cracked, afal pishlo chasera, even though it's not missing anything. As opposed to nifgema, where you're missing a piece of the ear, here it's nistika, it's cracked, but there is nothing missing. Nikva, below karshina, or if there's a nekiv, that's the size of a karshina, which is, we'll see in the Gemara, vetch, or a horse bean. Osh yavsha, or it dried out. Ezehu yavisha, what is the case where it's dried out? Kosha tinake, vena mutziya tipat dam. Anything that's punctured and no blood emanates from it. It's dry enough that when you touch it, it crumbles. Obviously, that's a higher standard, that if you just touch it, it crumbles. Versus if you put a pin into it, no blood will come out. So that's a machloket about what's considered to be a dry ear. So here we have the three mumim. One mum is nifgima, that if it's a piece missing from it, again, this is on the cartilage piece, not on the skin. Cracked, even though there's nothing missing. And then we saw it has a hole in it, that has to be the side of a malo karshina. And the last one is yivesha, which was it's dried out. So these are the four mumim that you have by the ear. Amai. Gemara wants to understand how this works. Why are these the mumim? And basically the question is, why is it by the cartilage that we say, yes, it's a mum? By the or we say, no, it's not a mum. And that's because we have the pasuk that's found in Dvarim Tedvav, speaks about the bechor. And over there it also tells us about a bechor ba mum. It says, the beginning of that is, Kol b'chor asher yivaleid b'b'chor b'tzoncha, hazachar takdish l'Hashem elkecha, lo tavo b'b'chor sherecha, lo tavoz b'b'chor tzonecha. So we're familiar with that piece, which is that you're not allowed to work, and you're not allowed to shear the b'chor. Then, l'ifnei Hashem elkecha to'achalena shana b'shana, we also did that, with the limit on shana b'shana, v'kom asher yivchar Hashem ata uveitecha. Then, v'chi yeh bo mum piseach oiver. If it has these types of mumim, piseach means that it's lame, it can't walk, it's having trouble walking. Oiver, it's blind. Kol mumra, lo tizbachenu, then you can't put it on the mizbeach. Hashem elokecha, you can't give it to Hashem. Bisharecha tochaleno, atamei v'tor yechtav kutzi v'ayal. Then you can eat it at home, meaning that it's a bechor balmum. But here the parsha tells you what's a balmum. It's kiya balmum, piseach oiver, kol mumra. Tell you already, you can see what the Gemara is going to do. It's kiya balmum, klau. Piseach uver prat, kol mumra is going to be a klal uprat uklal. Right, so that's how the Gemara is leading, but we'll see. The Gemara is going to develop over here. So amai, piseach uver k'tiv. So Gemara says, because it says piseach uver. If it says piseach uver, so that's it. Tiv nami kiyeh bo mum. There's a klal in the beginning. Veima, so let's say, kiyeh bo mum klal, piseach uver prat, klal uprat, em beklal amashe beprat. Piseach viver in midach rinalo. That'd be limited to, that's the only type of mum that you would be allowed to shech the animal on. Piseach viver, nothing else, because that's a klal uparat. Where it says, look, kol mumra. There's another klal afterwards, chazar viklal. You know, you have a klal uparat uklal. Iatadan elokeina prat. Now we have klal uparat uklal, iatadan eloprat. Ma prat mifurash mumim shibigalui. These are mumim that are visible, ve'inan chuzrin, and they are permanent. They are irreparable. They don't rehabilitate. Af kol mumim shibgalui ve'inan chuzrin. So therefore, anything that is exposed, visible, plus it's eno chuzer, it's irreparable, it's irreplaceable, does not rehabilitate, those will be the mumim that are problematic. So Gemara says, wait, ve'ima, there's another common denominator between the pratim, which is, Ma prat mifurash mumim shibigalui, ubotel mimelachto veino chuzer. There's a third common denominator between them, which is botel mimelachto. So over here, what are the two examples? Iver, obviously if the animal's blind, it's going to be hard for it to work. And piseach, which has had a problem walking. It has it's some sort of damage to its leg, its foreleg, its hind leg, some damage that makes it hard for it to walk. That's going to stop it from performing the work that it needs to do. So why don't we say that's a common denominator, that af only mumim that have big galui visible botel memalachto that will cause them to not be able to do the work that he once did, but inokuzer, and they're irreparable. Alamo tanan. What about our Mishnah? Nifgama ozno mina chaskus or mina skus velo mina or. Our Mishnah lays out an example of clearly something that is a mum big galui. A mom that ain't no chuzer, but it's not botel mimalachto. Just because he's got a little cut in his ear or some piece, missing piece of his ear, doesn't mean it's botel mimalachto. So how are we going to deal with that? Kol mum ra ribuyahu. No, kol mum ra is really a ribuy. It's not a klal upratu klal, but kol mum ra is a ribuy. To understand this now, it seems, the Gemara is never clear about this, but it seems that the Gemara is switching from learning as a klal upratu klal to a ribuy miyot to ribuy. But klal uprato klal, then you ain't a dan elik in haprat. Everything has to be similar to the prat. But riboy miyut to riboy, ribe et akol, include everything. And the miyut is memayet to very specific things. That's what it seems like the Gemara is doing, although it never explicitly says that. So it says, komu rab ribuyahu, we'll say that's a riboy. Yoche, if you want to be merab already, then mumim shibaseter nami. Why don't you include mumim shibaseter? Alamatnan, we had this quoted earlier in the Gemara. But now we're going to have the Mishnah coming up in Tudaf, which is Chutin Achitzonot. We're talking about the outer, either incisors, or according to Rashi, the gums, Shinif Gimu, Vishinig Mimu, that either were broken or leveled off, flattened out. Vapnimiot, the inner ones. This either means the molars, or according to Rashi, the inner gums, Shinekru, that were taken out entirely. Nekru in by the molars or the back gums, it's only if they were out totally. But nifgimu v'nigmimu, lo. They were just broken or damaged, then not. That's why in the back you need something significant that you would be able to see from the outside. But if you're unable to see it from the outside, that's a mum shibiseter. That's not chayav. So you have a Mishnah that says that mumim shibiseter don't count. Where it says, bein in mum ra avaleka. The Torah demands that it be a mum ra. Ra means something that's minuval, something that upsets you, something that is disgusting and visible. So here, something beseter, you're not going to see it. It's not going to bother you. Gemara says, oh, iochi, mumover nami? So let's include a mumover. It qualifies as a mumra. That's something that is minuval, even though it'll heal. Why don't we include it? If you're minuval by everything, then let's include a mumover as well. Alamatznan, velo mina or. In our Mishnah, it says by the or of the ear, that doesn't count. Why not? Because it rehabilitates. The or will grow back, the skin will grow back, and that's why it's not included. Gemara says, mumover svaruhu. Mumover is logical that we would not include it or allow you to shecht on it. Hashtam mifrak lo parkina anilui. When it comes to psule amukdashim, over there you need a mum kavua, a permanent mum in order to redeem them, and a mumover doesn't work. Mishchat shkatin alui? You're going to allow him to shecht on it? If a mumover is not good enough to redeem a psule amukdashim, you think it's going to be good enough to be shochet a bechor on it? And we know there's a status, we're going to see this through our perek, that there's sooner mumim that make a bechor pasul mizbeach, but are not good enough to make it ro'i to shecht it. So shechting is a higher threshold. So why should it be? If it doesn't work for prika, then it certainly shouldn't work for shkita. Titania, you have a breita. V'im kol beima tmeya asher lo yakrivu mimenu korban Hashem. If a person is makdish, a behema tmeya that we don't put on the mizbeach. Now what are we speaking about here? What is the behema tmeya here? Vivalei mumim akadu midaber. We're talking about that behema tmeya is not really tmeya, not a non-kosher animal, but an animal that's not kosher the mizbeach, meaning that has a mum in it. So the Gemara says, atau mer bivalei mumim shenivdu akadu midaber. You think it's talking about bali mumim that were redeemed? Oeinu ela behema tmeya mamash. Maybe it's really speaking about a really non-kosher animal. Kshuomer, later on in the parasha when it says, Bim bi behemahat meya, we have another pasuk that already talks about behemahat meya. Hare behemahat meya, amur. It's already said over there. Ha mani mekem asher lo yakrivu bimenu. What do I do with this part of lo yakrivu bimenu korban Hashem? Veomer, ze bale mumim. That must be talking about bale mumim shenivdu. Yochol yivdu al mumover. I would think that they could be redeemed on a mumover. Tamalomar. Asher lo yakrivu mimenu korban Hashem. Mi sheina kreva kol ikar. Something that can never end up in the mizbeach. Yatsudu sheina kreva yom elo lamachar. It's not put on the mizbeach now, but it will be tomorrow. So therefore we see that mumover does not work or is not strong enough to allow for psulei mukdashim. So certainly over here it won't work in terms of shkita. Yibayit ema. The other possibility is imkein piseach liver lamali. What's the miut of Pesiach and Aver for? You have to be mayit something. If you're learning it as a ribui, miut, and ribui, so everything's included. Now we included everything, but then we said mum shebeseita doesn't count because of the word mumra. Mumra limits what we include. But then what do you do with Pesiach and Aver? What do they do for you? They're a miut. What are they mayit? So if you say mum aver is also included, then they're not mayit anything. At least if you say mum aver does not work, then you can say Pesiach and Aver. Come to teach you that mum aver. They have to be permanent mumim, not temporary mumim, and therefore we're using the Pesiach and Aver as a miut to be mayit those things. So again, that's an indication that the Gemara is learning it as a riboy miut and riboy, because they want to mimic one thing from Pesach Uver, not like we did before, which was a klau uprat uchlau. Nistika afapish lo chasira, tana rabanan, a sedek kol shuhu. Sedek only has to be any amount. Habgima, ben bibide adam, ben bibide shamayim. When it comes to the pogame, it has to ben bibide adam, ben bibide shamayim, michlau. So the inference from this is the sedek bidei shemayim lo. That a sedek that happened naturally, not. Ella, no. The way you have to read it is sedek u'dim b'gima. A sedek, a crack, or b'gima. It's missing something. Ben bidei shemayim, ben bidei adam. Doesn't matter. How it came about, both of those are mumim. The Gemara now is saying, we read the Braita that it references both of them. That the sedek koshku veha b'gima, the sedek, which is any amount, and the b'gima, which has to be missing a portion, we'll see what that is. Then, modifying both of those is ben bidei adam, ben bidei shemayim. Just to understand this, I would have understood bidei adam and bidei shemayim means, bidei adam means it happens through the action of a human being. Bidei shemayim is that it happens from natural causes. That's how I would have translated them. Rashi says bidei shemayim is that noladimo, that it's congenital. So that's a much narrower definition of bidei shemayim. Bidei shemayim here means congenital. Bidei adam means after it's born. Anytime from after the time it's born. Natural causes, exactly. So I don't know why Rashi felt that way or directed it that way, because you could have just read it as natural causes versus man-made causes, but I'm just noting that's the way Rashi reads it. The Braita said that tzedek is a koshul, but begima, I didn't tell you how much you need. So kama shir pigima kedei shetachbor bat ziporin. So something you might remember from when we did shchita, the knife, the sharpness of the knife. How do you check if it's sharp? You run your fingernail along it. If the fingernail gets caught in it, then it's a problematic. The nick is problematic. So too over here. If you run your fingernail across the ear and your fingernail gets caught in the ear, that's the size of pigam that is problematic. Okay, nakva below karshina. That is a nick of the size of a karshina. So now Gemara says tanaran. Kama nikivata ozin. What is the amount of the nekiv to the ozin? Meloka shina. Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Amar bika adasha. The size of a lentil seed. So that's a little bit smaller. That the karshina is gadol mi'adasha, just a drop. It's a drop bigger. Now in the next part, ve'ezuhu yivesha. This we do have in our Mishnah. Jeshe im tinake ve'no mutziya tibat dam, which is the Tanakam of our Mishnah, which is if it's punctured, it doesn't have blood flow. Has to be dry enough that it crumbles in your hand. Tana, on this brayta we have provim divrehem liot shavim, that their shiurim are very similar. Divrehem deman, which machloket are we saying over here is similar? Ilem at the Tanakam Rabbi Yosi ben Mishulam. If you're talking about the Tanakam Rabbi Yosi ben Shalom, tuva yika. There's a big difference between putting a hole in it doesn't bleed and that it crumbles in your hand. Ella, it must be there's not a big difference between Tanakama and Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. So that's what the Ein Divrehem are so far apart, is that the Karshina is just a drop bigger than an Adasha. So Magar's gonna go off on a total different tangent. It looks like what's going on here, and we'll see when we come back to it. Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, Kedashin, but Tzimra Kedasha lo. Does Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda really believe that it has to be the size of a lentil? But less than a lentil, no. Viraminhi. We have this in Kiddushin, the Gemara Kiddushin with regards to Eved Ivri. An Eved Ivri who chooses to stay after his 6 years working with his Adon in the 7th year where he's supposed to go free, he decides he wants to stay until the Yovel. He has to be Marzea, he has to puncture his ear against the doorway. Just so you know that everybody gets this wrong as well, the puncture is not on the ear lobe, but rather up on the upper half of the ear, on the top of the ear, and the back top of the ear now where some of the girls get their earrings, that's exactly where they do it, on the top edge of the ear. So Marzea, in the yellow Marzea, that you can only use the tool called a Marzea. Minayin the Rabot, how do I know that you can also include a sul? Sul, which is like a prick or a splinter. Hasira is a thorn. Hamachat is a pin. Hamakdeach, which is like a borer, a drill. Ve'amachtev, a stylus, a metal stylus. Tamalomar ve'lakachta. Kol dovar, shinilkach, biyad, anything that you can take in your hand, divrei Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Omer, Merzeya. Ma Merzeya miyuchad shel matechet, just like Merzeya is made out of metal. Of course, matechet, it has to be a metallic kli. It can be any kli, but it has to be metallic. As opposed to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, who says it can be any of these materials. But just note, who is the author of the statement in Kedushin? It's Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. That's the same Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda that we have here that says it has to be the size of an adasha. That's what's going to present the problem. We're not there yet. It's a long way to the question, but I'm just showing you where the question's going to come from. Viktani Seifa, and the latter half over there says, Amar Rabbi Yudan Birabi, Haya Doresh Kishen Rutzin, In Rutzim Ela B'milat. When they do the Ritzia, they do it in the Milat, which is the ear lap. Chomim Ramim, En Evidibri Koin Nirza. And even if he was a Kohen, can't do Nirza because he'll become a Baal Mum. And a Kohen is restricted from becoming a Baal Mum. Bim Tomar. Now, let's understand this. If you say B'milat, you wrote sin. If you say that they do the puncture up on the ear lap, Heich Evid Kohen Nase Baal Mum. What do you mean? How does he ever become a Baal Mum? Ha in Rotsin Ela B'Gova Shalozin. They only do it at the top part of the ear. And then how is he going to be considered to be Baal Mum? What is the tools that he said you could use over here? Machat? Sira? They're not going to make a hole the size of a kadasha. And yet he says that's going to make it into a mum. So you see, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says even a smaller hole is going to make it into a mum. Because over here, where he requires an adasha. So you have a stira in Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, how big a hole you need to be a mum. Rav Chana bar Katina, lokasha, kan lishkot, kan lifsol. Again, this is what we said before. There's a difference between the size of mum that you need to disqualify you from a vota, disqualify you from going to Zbeach, versus a mum that's big enough to allow you to shecht on it. So this type of hole was a baal mum, if so, or to say that you can't do a vota, that you're a baal mum, you can't go on the Zbeach. But it's not big enough to shecht on it. If you want a hole big enough to shecht on it, that you need an adasha for. And that's the difference in the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. Where it says, my karshina, what is this karshina? Amarav, Shravya, Hindu. It's Hindu, which, again, we don't know much better. But although if you look in Rashi, he brings down the Laz, which is Vetcha. So that's how we know that it's Vetch, or this horse bean. Baimine Rav Hoshaya mi Rav Huna Rabo. So Rav Hoshaya asked the Rav Huna Rabo, Karshina hanichneset viyotza, or Karshina omedet? This Karshina, how big is this hole? Is it a hole that's big enough to allow it to pass through easily? I mean, it's not only the size of the karshina, but big enough to allow the karshina to push through. Or is it the size that the karshina fits into it, but it wouldn't pass through it? Amrlo zulo shamati. I didn't hear an answer to this. Kiyosaba shamati. But I heard a similar machloket that question was asked about. Titnan, we have this Mishnah, we saw this back in Chulin as well. Hashidra vagugolet. You have a spine or a skull shechasru that are missing a portion of them. That if they are missing this portion, they are no longer mitamei ke ohel, or the opposite would be that there's this is a big enough piece to be missing that would make it into a treifa. Kamech Yisrael and b'shidrav lo yehei mitamei ohel. How much has to be missing from the shidra, from the spinal column, so that it will no longer be mitamei ohel if you just have the spinal column there? How much has to be missing? Or again, how much has to be missing that it will be considered a treifa while he's alive? Be'jomim omrim shtei chuliot, two vertebrae. Be'tan lo omrim chuliachat, one vertebrae. Ubegulgolot, when it comes to the skull. Be'jomim omrim klo machdeach. The Be'jomai says it has to be the size of a bore or a drill. Be'tan lo omrim kadesh yitel menachai v'yamut. The amount they have to take out from him and he will die. They don't make him into a treifa. V'yoti v'rav chista v'komi b'ilei. So chista was sitting and asking kadesh yitel menachai v'kamo. How much is this amount that you have to take away from the chai that it will be classified as being no longer viable as a human being? It's the size of a coin. And on that we said, Rav Safra Amar Shmaitata Mirlei, that the answer that was given to him by Rav Tachlifa Barabdume was given as a Shmaitata, as a memra. It was said in the name of Shmuel. Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Amar, Shmuel Bar Yehuda says, Matnita Amar Lei, he quoted him a Braita. He didn't quote him Shmuel, but he quoted him a Braita as the answer. B'simaneich, and the way to remember this is, Tnei Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. Shmuel Bar Yehuda appears many, many times in Shas, he's the one that Tnei brought the Braita down. Vermelei, Imdain, so he responds to him and says, Asita Divrei Beit Shammai B'Divrei Tehel Achad. Now you made Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel equal. Because if you say now that what Beit Hillel needs is the size of a coin, Then Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai are equal. Ditznan. Ma'or shalom naseh bidei adam. A opening that was not made by human beings, meaning that was a natural opening. Shiro malei grof gadol. The sizes of a big fist that goes through. Zeh gufo shel ben betiach. And that's the size of the fist of ben betiach. who was a large man, hefty man, and the size of his fist is what determines that. I'm Rabbi Yossi. V'yeshno karosh gadol shel adam, and that's the size of a big head of a person, a skull of a person. Nasa b'dei adam, who was made by human beings rather than naturally. Shiro kolomak deach gadol shel lishka. It's like the large bore, the large drill of the lishka. Shiro kipundion hashel ha'itagli. That's the equivalent of a pundion, the Italian pundion, or casella nironit, or the coin, the cella of Nero, Nero Caesar. V'yeshno
kimlo nekev shel ol, like the size of the hole of a yoke in which you place the peg. That hole or that area where the peg is stuck into the yoke, that is the same size that is brought over here.
So now what you see is that Beit Shammai's size here is malei makdeach, which was a malei makdeach in the skull. The mission over here calls it a cella size. And now you're telling me Beit Hillel says the amount that's been missing for it to die or not to survive it is also a cella size. Now they're equal. Ishtik. Then he was silent. He had nothing to say. Amalei Rav Chista, Shema Mavdeach V'chisumo Shaninu. Maybe the difference between them is whether it passes through easily or not. Meaning that, is it the drill and the ability for the drill to go through, totally through there? Meaning that the cella can go in without any problem. It goes in easily and comes out easily. Or are we simply thinking about the drill without the widens it out, and therefore the cella just fits in but doesn't go through? Which would be exactly what we just said before. The difference, you asked me about karshinim, whether it has to go all the way through or not go through. Here I heard this is a machloket Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai about the coin. Size of the coin in the gulgulet, whether it can pass through, which is what Beit Shammai will say. According to Beit Hillel, just as the coin fits into the hole, not that it's able to pass through. Okay, we'll stop over here.